Hello, everyone. Homecoming Hero here with another episode of Late Night Sprites, the podcast about fun and nerdy topics that is super chill. I'm your host, Homecoming Hero. If you are new, thank you so much for stopping in, and please consider hitting that follow button if you have not. And if you are not new, please consider hitting that follow button if you haven't, and thank you for sticking around. Now, with that being said, this week's episode, it was inspired, well, I don't want to say it was inspired, because here's what happened. I found a bunch of Shrek games for the Game Boy Advance, and I was like, you know what, I haven't done a variety episode in a long time, so I'm going to do this variety episode on the Shrek games for the Game Boy Advance. But then Shrek 2 got re-released and the indie world happened, so I delayed the Shrek GBA episode for a week and ended up seeing Shrek 2 in theaters. So I'm going to be talking about the Shrek GBA games, but also Shrek 2, because I ended up seeing the Shrek 2 re-release. I got a Shrek 2 20th anniversary poster, which is insane to me because I saw that movie when it came out in theaters the first time. So seeing Shrek 2 on the big screen was just really, it was awesome. Seeing that movie again on the big screen was definitely worth it, and it made me realize that I want to see more re-releases of movies, and I hope that re-releases are a little bit more common during spring and early winter, like the end of like January, February, usually when studios don't have their big movies ready because it's usually over the summer. I would love for more re-releases to happen, like especially the first Spider-Verse movie, because I never got to see Into the Spider-Verse in theaters. I would love a re-release of that. But yeah, seeing a movie re-released is a really fun It was a great time. So today I'm going to be talking about Shrek 2 as a movie and then some Shrek games for the Game Boy Advance. So definitely get excited, because I know I am. So Shrek 2 first as a movie holds up like 90%, because there are some jokes that are very of the time and are references to a lot of pop culture things that were really popular around that time, so that does date the movie. There's a couple jokes in Shrek 2 that, like, people would say don't really hold up well. Like, they just don't hold up well, like, they're not done in good taste. And I would agree, there's, like, one or two jokes, but overall the message of the movie of wanting to change for someone you love, being true to yourself, so much of that movie holds up. A lot of the humor holds up really well, though. There's a lot of jokes in the movie that do hold up well, and some of the pop culture references work because some of them are like just so funny that you don't need to know the source material to really understand it. And seeing Shrek 2 on the big screen again was just surreal, because when the movie started, we got previews, and I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. I expected previews. It was a movie after all. But seeing previews for Inside Out 2 and Garfield, that took me back for a second, because I was like, whoa. Because obviously I'm watching this movie that's turning 20 or just turned 20, and I'm getting this trailer for Inside Out 2 for this new Garfield movie that's coming out in like a month. And that was just so funny to me. Just the juxtaposition to see animated movies now versus an animated movie that came out 20 years ago, and some of the differences in that kind of movie, just like seeing movies with like, how do I, just movies that give away the entire plot almost. And I'm gonna have to go back at some point and watch the Shrek 2 trailer and see how much of the Shrek 2 trailer gives away the movie, but I remember trailers back in the day being a lot shorter. Like the Inside Out 2 one was like 2 minutes long, and it's just showing plot point after plot point and joke after joke. And I think the incentive for modern trailers is to be like, hey, come and see this funny joke and see the scene that leads up to it and the scene after, or see this plot twist, see how do we get there. Like, I feel like that's kind of the philosophy of modern trailers a little bit, because sometimes they show a little too much. It's especially animated movies, sometimes I feel like they are showing the entire movie. But yeah, Shrek 2 holds up. Really enjoyed seeing it. The holding out for a hero sequence is still incredible. Just so fun. I remember that was one of the first times in a movie that a song enhanced the experience for me. Like, that is where a song really stirred emotion up for me in a movie. And it still did. I felt like a little kid again watching Shrek riding the giant cookie and the not the gumdrop buttons. And my favorite bit is still the giant cookie monster sinking into the water and how it syncs up with the music, and the giant cookie is like, be good. And Gingerbread Man is just like, no, he needs me. Let me go. I still laughed so hard as that, as hard as I did when I was a kid. It's the delivery. It's how this epic song is singing over a Godzilla-sized cookie storming a castle. And I love this. This was also the introduction of my favorite fearless hero, Puss in Boots. I absolutely love seeing where Puss in Boots started. And it's kind of funny because afterwards I came back home after going out with my friend and going to the movie. I immediately wanted to put on Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, and I was like theorizing, like, oh, he mentioned a past life. I wonder what life number he's on. And our guess was 3 or 4. Our guess is that Shrek 2 was somewhere in the early on to basically the middle of the 9 lives. Like, it wasn't super late into his lives, but it wasn't super early either. So like 3 or 4. Like, he's lost a couple. Like that scene in Puss in Boots: The Last Wish where he gets run down but during the running of the bulls, that was clearly an amateur mistake. But yeah, so that was a fun time. I really like that I got a poster. And so doing that really coincides with the fact that I got the Shrek games on Game Boy Advance. I wanted to play as many as possible, and I got 4 for you today: Shrek Wreakin' Havoc, Shrek Hassle in the Castle, Shrek 2 for the Game Boy Advance, and Shrek 2 Beg for Mercy. So we have 2 Shrek 2 games, so this really coincides here, and I think that's pretty funny that the indie world ended up delaying something that I got to go see Shrek 2, talk about the movie a little bit, and now talk about these games. And I wasn't even thinking about that. I just thought, hey, I'm gonna do a variety episode. Now, there was a Shrek kart racer, and there may have been one or two other Shrek games, but I wanted to focus on these 4. I didn't want to do any spin-offs, so I know that there is a Shrek Super Slam port for the Game Boy Advance, and I was not gonna give that the time of day. The DS port is surprisingly okay, but the Game Boy Advance port takes it from an arena fighter to a 2D fighter, and it just doesn't work. It's like a platform fighter. The Game Boy Advance didn't have enough buttons to really do what Super Slam is good at, and the graphics are really bad. And I am speaking from experience because I ended up playing Super Slam for the Game Boy Advance, like, for an episode that I don't believe happened, like, last year. So we're not doing the kart racer, we're not doing Super Slam, we're doing mainline Shrek, the no spin-offs, the main Shrek timeline. And first off, I'm gonna do Hassle in the Castle. No, I'm not. Hassle in the Castle didn't work. And no matter how much I tried and cried and blew into the cartridge, and started and restarted and pleaded, you know, and begged, the game didn't work. So Shrek Castle in the Castle didn't work. But since I just saw the movie, we're going to talk about Shrek 2 and Shrek Beg for Mercy first. And Shrek 2 is like a platformer with some exploration elements. Now, I do have memories of the Shrek 2 game. I had it on GameCube, and by had it, I mean I rented it, played through it, and I think I rented it twice because this is back when memory cards were really big. So I was like, oh my gosh, I can rent a game more than once and actually finish it. I did beat the Shrek 2 game when I was younger. I went all the way through it and was able to beat it. And I have a lot of fun memories of the Shrek game on the GameCube. It's just this like beat 'em up game where you have multiple characters and everyone has a special ability. And then at the end of every stage, you have hero time. You have to say it like you're mid yawn because the announcer always goes hero time. And every character gets this like special mini game. And the cool thing is that if player two, for example, is playing as Donkey or Donkey, if the main character is playing as Donkey, then you are doing hero time. If player four is playing as Shrek and hero time rolls around, player four is doing hero time. And that, I think, is super cool. So obviously, if you're playing it by yourself, then you're doing hero time for every character. And some of the hero times are very, they drag on for a little bit, but they're really cool. I think they're really cool pace breakers. Like, they're rhythm games or auto scrollers and stuff like that. And I think that's really unique. But with hero time, I find that so cool that if a second or third player is playing the game, then they get to do hero time. And I think that's a really cool way to include all the other players. The Shrek 2 GameCube PS2 Xbox game honestly is really good. It doesn't have any of the licensed music, but it has just a nice little sense of humor. Yes, the characters say voice lines like a lot, but it plays well. And as a multiplayer experience, it's not bad. I will admit that the game drags at a couple points, but for a licensed game in the 2000s, it is one of the better ones. Now, with the topic of today's episode, the Game Boy Advance one, they kind of tried to make it a single-player experience version of the console version, as in, every character has a special ability, they have special controls, like, each one, like, Donkey can hover for a little bit, Shrek is strong and slow, so every character has a little bit of their own, like, abilities, and I really enjoyed the 20 minutes that I played of it. I beat a few levels, and then my copy bugged out, and it died, and it made me sad, so I had to buy another copy, which was bundled with Shark Tale, so who knows, maybe I'll do another Game Boy Advance, variety episode and talk about Shark Tale. So now I technically have two copies of Shrek, and I didn't realize that I also had a copy of Shark Tale. So now I have two copies of Shark Tale for the Game Boy Advance, one in a bundle and one on the Game Boy Advance. My Shark Tale collection is nearing completion. Yay. But that being said, it's a standard license game. It has some decent music for a license game. Well, at least at first, and then it becomes pretty generic. You just run, you jump. The graphics are ultra pixelated. And Shrek's profile picture looks like someone who just wants you to get out of his swamp. But he's not going to yell at you to get out of his swamp. He's going to be very passive-aggressive about it. He looks like a Shrek that has just had a really long day and just wants to go home. Donkey's profile picture is a little bit better, but the stages are pretty short. So for a Game Boy Advance game, it's nice. It saves. I actually think it has like an auto-save feature after every level. So that's pretty ahead of its time. And because I have been playing some other Game Boy Advance games lately, like the Donald Duck one and the SpongeBob SquarePants movie game, I might end up doing a Game Boy Advance variety episode, but Yeah, a lot of Game Boy Advance games relied on passwords because it was essentially like a portable Super Nintendo. So seeing a save feature in something outside of like a Mario and Luigi game is like really cool. Or a Zelda game, stuff like that. Pokemon, I think Pokemon you could save at any point. I could be wrong. I don't remember the Game Boy Advance ones that well. I didn't really play them. But Pokemon Pinball, that was pretty goated. But with Shrek 2, it's kind of your run-of-the-fair game. I got kind of pretty bored with it. It wasn't really exciting. It didn't really stand out. It was Shrek 2 on Game Boy Advance. The graphics were kind of hilarious how pixelated they were. And so with that, I'm going to move on to Shrek 2 Beg for Mercy, which is a Shrek 2 Game Boy Advance game. Now, I didn't get far enough to know if you get to play as Puss in Boots in the original or not, but in Shrek 2 Beg for Mercy, you definitely do. And it made this game feel like glorified DLC. Everything is super ugly and pixelated. The music is really bad. Puss in Boots is already a bounty hunter like he was in the Shrek 2 movie. It gives him like this origin story where he had a human owner and then killed an ogre and then became a bounty hunter. So obviously this was made way before the Puss in Boots movie gave him his official origin story. Both games have a health bar. And this is where I said it feels like glorified DLC in Game Boy Advance cartridge form. The sprites and enemies and health bar and profile pictures in HUD are all recycled from Shrek 2. This is like a Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo situation. You get these like really neat storybook cutscenes, which I think is really nice, but it's very similar gameplay to Shrek 2. The only difference is that you play as Puss in Boots, and I was like, yo, Puss in Boots having an entire game. He was a pretty breakout character. That's why, like, a lot of people aren't a fan of what they did to him in Shrek 2 and Shrek 3. And he ended up getting his own spin-off movie, which is super nice. And then his spin-off movie got the DreamWorks treatment of a sequel that is way better than the first movie did and had any was better than it had any right to be, joining the likes of How to Train Your Dragon, Kung Fu Panda, and even Shrek 2. That being said, though, like Kung Fu Panda 1, Shrek 1, How to Train Your Dragon 1, all quality movies. They're all quality, good, fun movies. They just have these trends of having DreamWorks sequels that go super deep, go a little dark in tone, and have these super heavy messages. Because, like, for example, Shrek 2, yes, is super light and fun, but it also has that dark tone of like Fairy Godmother just hates Shrek, and a lot of people just hate him for him being him, and he has to try to change for Fiona, and that's actually kind of pretty sad. Or like Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, where he has to escape from death itself, or How to Train Your Dragon 2, which has some really sad moments, or Kung Fu Panda 2. Yeah, Kung Fu Panda 2 still kind of hits me really hard. So moving on back to the game. So there are no checkpoints in this game, but you have infinite lives. You get reset to certain points. You can stun enemies by doing the little move where Puss in Boots takes the hat off and goes, "Aw," but its windup is so ridiculously slow. It's hilarious. Like, you slowly take off the hat and slowly do the face, and they get stunned for like a millisecond. It's not worth it. But also, Puss in Boots he like walks like a total Chad in this game. Like that Dr. Livesley meme, the dun 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 dun. He walks like that, and it's hilarious. He can attack, duck, block, air attack, ground attack, do the cuteness thing, and double jump. And I was really enjoying playing as Puss in Boots, and I kind of want to go back and see if, like, maybe later on I get to keep playing as him, because the dumb thing is that after chapter one, they're like, "Oh, play as Shrek." And I was like, it's just Shrek 2 again. It's Shrek's model, it's Shrek's moveset. They do not teach you how to play as Shrek. So the game assumes that you played as Shrek in Shrek 2 and know his vast move set of like ground pounding and bouncing off mushrooms and stuff, because that's not here. But the fact that the enemy sprites are remodeled shows me that this game was definitely put out because Puss in Boots was a breakout character, but they didn't want to make an entire game, so they took assets from Shrek 2 and just put it in there. But Beg for Mercy has terrible music and the graphics have not aged well. Sometimes you have to climb stuff and jumping off of walls and vines is very iffy and very hard to do. Sometimes the hitboxes are a little bad, but the stages, like Shrek 2, are incredibly short and very easy to go through. The only problem is that when you're in a chapter, there's like five stages, and I feel like if it was three or four, it'd be a little bit more bearable. But it is super easy. I guess it's better than Shrek 2 for meme reasons, but that's about it. I am gonna try to beat this one, but again, this is glorified Shrek 2 Game Boy Advance DLC. They made an entire game where you can play as Puss in Boots, but then they're like, oh, we don't need an entire game for it. But I can't be too mad at this in Shrek 2 because I paid $3 for those. I can be mad at Hassle in the Castle, though, which is a follow-up pseudo sequel to the final game I'm going to be talking about. And I can be mad at Hassle in the Castle because it didn't work. So this is a game that I paid $7 for. So that's already the combined price of Shrek 2 and Shrek 2 Beg for Mercy. So Shrek Hassle or Shrek Wreaking Havoc is the game before Hassle in the Castle. The idea is that Farquaad's ghost is back and corrupting the land with quote unquote meanness and I forgot what it was. Like it was he's just corrupting people. So your bosses are the characters that were side characters. So you're fighting Pinocchio or you're saving the three pigs. And the music is okay, but super repetitive. The graphics on this one are great. Every character kind of has like this bobblehead, but it is a side-scrolling beat 'em up with exploration elements, and you can play as either Shrek or Fiona, and I don't know if there are character differences, but you play as human Fiona, which I found super interesting because this takes place after the first movie, but I guess this was made around the time of the first movie where they didn't want to spoil the big twist at the end of Shrek 1. I wonder if Hassle in the Castle is the same way, but Hassle in the Castle has the similar graphic style, similar music, similar level design from what I've seen. So I find it really unique that we have these Shrek games that are like these bonus stories that are like almost chibi-like. They're these small cartoony characters and you run around fighting characters. You have your basic attack, you have a special meter, and you're just going around fighting characters. It's pretty easy and pretty simple, but it's a fun little Shrek-based game. Like, I am gonna go back to Wreaking Havoc and beat it because it's not that long. Like, the game isn't that long. The stages feel a little long, and the second one being like a explore this forest where everything looks the same was not the best idea. But as a whole, like, you can pick up stuff, duck, jump, special attack, air attack, slide attack, do your specials. You can fight bosses. You get graded at the end of every level, which I think is kind of funny. But aside from that, like it, the opening is like super random, but aside from that, like it's a fun game. I wish I could play Hassle in the Castle and see how it fares against Wreaking Havoc. So I'm gonna try to hunt down another copy of Hassle in the Castle and boot it up, and maybe if I do another Game Boy Advance thing, this it can be like a follow-up akin to when I did all those Phineas and Ferb games that time ago and did a follow-up because I missed like one or two games and I was like, dang it all. This Wreaking Havoc was my favorite of the Shrek Game Boy Advance games. It was inoffensive, easy. It drags a little bit, but overall, it was just a licensed game on the Game Boy Advance, but it at least tried to be different and have a different story, have a different art style that really worked for the console. So instead of being overly pixelated by going with the style that they did, the models and graphics age really well, and so do the backgrounds compared to Shrek 2 and Shrek 2 Beg for Mercy, where they kind of just compressed modern graphics into a Game Boy Advance game and ended up making them not look the best. Oof, they are not good. But yeah, Wreaking Havoc was a good time. I need to know if Hassle in the Castle was before that or after that. So I'm gonna have to do some research. All I know is that they are games in a similar style and have just that similar art style, similar look, similar feel, similar music, similar gameplay. So I do want to be able to compare those two to see which of the better of those two. But overall, this is still a pretty good time. And Beg for Mercy, I want to finish. As for Shrek 2, maybe if I'm just in that much of a Shrek mood. But I forgot how big Shrek was back in the day. Shrek really took off. The first movie was beloved. There were several Shrek video games, whether it was Shrek slash Shrek Extra Large, Shrek 2, Shrek the Third. I don't know if Forever. I think Forever After got a game on like the Wii and stuff like that. So we've gotten several games, and some of them are good across all sorts of consoles. And then Shrek was so big that he got a kart racer, he got a party game, he got Shrek Super Slam, which I rented multiple times as a kid. And Shrek Super Slam is actually a really good game. It's really fun. It's a Power Stone clone. I replayed it last year when my friend lent me his GameCube, and I was filled with many happy childhood memories. I was a happy camper then. Pretty happy camper, reliving my childhood on the GameCube. But that being said, I think I'm going to wrap up this episode. Shrek 2, still a fantastic film. Seeing it on the big screen made me feel like a little kid again. Getting a poster was really fun, and I'm definitely going to hang it up. I have a lot of fond memories of Shrek 2 and the Shrek spin-offs. Whether it was watching the first movie in theaters, because I did see both of them in theaters, seeing Shrek the Third in theaters and regretting every decision I made in my young life at that point. But watching the Shrek movies on DVD, listening to the Shrek musical when it came out, playing Super Slam and Shrek 2 growing up. Shrek is one of those franchises that it's kind of cool to see how long it's lasted and how even the spin-offs of Shrek are can still bring in something so quality, like Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. Nobody expected that to be as amazing as it was, and it is up there with Spider-Verse and Encanto as some of my favorite animated movies in recent memory. I love The Last Wish and The Bad Guys. The Bad Guys is actually also pretty good and deserves some love as well. But that being said, I'm gonna wrap up this episode now. Yeah, Shrek 2, still a fun time. Holding, still one of my favorite uses of a song ever in a movie with the holding out for a hero. We went through some Shrek Game Boy Advance games, and I gotta say, I'm glad that I tried Wreakin' Havoc because that was actually pretty fun, and I want to finish it and hopefully get a working copy of Hassle in the Castle. But stay tuned, everyone, because I have about one or two other episodes left. I have a show review coming up in about a week or so. So get excited for that. I'm going to be reviewing a show. I haven't done that in a while. And I might review a movie or two. I might just talk about some general topics. But at the time of this recording, it's the end of April. We are approaching the month of May. And that means that the summer of sprites is almost here. About mid-May to late August, I am going to be covering lots of indie games. It is the summer of sprites, slash Summer of Indies 2024. Last year was an absolute smash hit, and this year will be no different. So take care of yourself. Take care of your mental health. I'm Homecoming Hero, and I will see you on the next episode of Late Night Sprites. Take care.